Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick, the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. And before we get started with continuing our series, What Do I Believe? I need to ask your forgiveness and apologize before the church because I lied to you all. And listen, I know right away when that happens, you all lean forward like, oh my, what did he do? And a lot of you have already called me out on this morning. I said during the holiday season that I only wear blazers or suits two times a year. And this is now like the fifth time. And I apologize. And the reason that I have this on today is because, number one, the shirt was ironed and it was ready to go this morning. And number two, I've lost a lot of weight and this blazer fits really nice. And I don't have a lot of other clothes that fit currently. So it is what it is. So I retract my previous statement. I'm going to be wearing blazers a lot because I have two of them. Because somebody gave me two blazers because they lost weight and these were too big on them and now they're mine. So here we go. Okay, so get used to some blazers. Y'all good? So please forgive me for the lie. We're going to continue our series today, What Do I Believe? And I believe that you all forgave me and we're going to move forward. Okay, so today is actually one of my favorite things to talk about, and it is God the Creator. God the Creator, who He is as the Creator. Let's turn to Genesis 1:1. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Created to form, to fashion, to produce, to create. Idea of carving and cutting out. Creating in this context is a divine capacity. Now listen. I married into a family. Number one, I said I regretted marrying into a family that runs marathons. Yesterday was the kids' marathon. Today is the Pittsburgh Marathon, right? Am I right? Today's the Pittsburgh Marathon. It's raining. It rains every year. They should move it a little bit later into May. I don't understand it. One day, I'm going to stand on the side and watch the marathon. I'm never going to run it in Jesus' name. But I am going to run the kids' marathon with my son one year. But here we go. As a man, you can get very competitive and you can compare yourself. So I'm just going to talk about the men in my family for a moment. They're very, very, very creative. My brother-in-law, Nate, who's standing in the back right there, he's the guy in all black standing against the white wall. He sticks out right there. See him? He was one of the guys leading worship today. Nate is uber creative. He's the creative director of our church. He is, his creative mind is amazing. So I used to compare myself to him a lot. I don't play an instrument. Nate, number one, can sing the paint off the walls, and he can play a guitar. Like, I just want him to sing me the phone book sometimes, okay? My brother-in-law, Jordan, is the video team leader, and every video that you see from Bridge City Church, Jordan had his hand upon. Uber creative. He also works at the church. Nate and Jordan share an office. Very creative. Now, where did this all start? Well, with their father, Jim, who can build anything with his bare hands, okay? And also, if you've read a book from Whitaker House Publishing, he probably designed the cover and edited everything and made sure that it happened because Jim has been an arts director and a creative mind for decades. And here I am. I can color inside the lines. Okay? And I used to get caught all the time saying, I'm not creative. And I'm just talking about the men. I'm not even going to go to the ladies within my family. Okay? So, Jordan chastised me And we are having a brother-to-brother conversation once. I wear different hats in his life. He wears different hats in mine. And he said, after listening to a podcast that really impacted his life, he shared it with me. He said, Nick, you are creative because you were created by the Creator. So you're creative. I said, huh. Go on. And he said, think about the things that you do that I can't do, and the things that I do that you can't do, and the things that other people do that we can't do. You're creative. We're all creative because we were created by the Creator. We're just creative in different ways. Huh. See, we try to compare ourselves and we get stuck because we're not looking at the Creator. We're looking at ourselves. Now, that statement that Jordan shared with me from a podcast that he listened to impacted my life so much. So now, guess what? I'm really creative. I'm like Bob Ross creative. Now, I can't paint a tree, but I can create things. Why? Not because of who I am, but because I know who he is. And I know what he created me for. I know what he created us for. Now, that's what today's message is all about. Understanding who the Creator is. Understanding who we are because of who he is. Now, there's three basic questions that we all have about our lives. Three basic questions. And before I get to those, I want to make sure that I hit this point home a little bit further for you all. How many of you have these little computers in your pocket? You have them? Go ahead and hold them up. It's okay. You can pull them out in church. It's okay. I know you have them out anyways. You don't have to text secretly beside you. Okay? Good. Get them out as you're getting them out. I just want to pray real quick because everybody remembered the statement that I made about my suit jacket, and like 11 people came to me and made a comment about it. So I just want to pray that you remember everything else I say today as much as you did about the suit jacket, okay? So let's just pray. Let's just go before the Lord that you're all hearers of the word today. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you so much that we're all going to remember the word of God today and what you speak to our hearts. We're going to remember the important stuff. And it's going to be deeply ingrained upon our mind and our heart. God, may we be hearers and doers of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. The little computer in your pocket. Now, myself personally, if this thing's not working, because this isn't just a phone for me. I'm actually not a texter. I love phone calls. I like calling and talking. I'm old school in that way. Rachel, actually, I'll call so many people in the car. When I'm in the car, I just call people. That's my office. But anyways, here we go. If this isn't working, you go to the Apple store usually. Now, I know all you Android people, you can go anywhere. You can go to Walmart or whatever. But us Apple people, we go to the Apple store to get it fixed. And when you go to the Apple store, they usually ask you a few things like, do you have a warranty? Do you have Apple Care? Do you have, what iOS are you running? When's the last time you updated? Did you back it up? All of these things. But whenever it's not working, you go back to the Creator so that they can get it working. So that they can get it right. Now, some people, you really like going to the Apple store. I enjoy it. I love going there. They're the nicest people in the world. You get to go play with all the stuff that they have there for free, and you just get to have a fun time. Okay? Some people hate going there because it just makes them uncomfortable. But regardless, when you leave, your device is going to be working as it was created to be working. Whether it's going to be free or it's going to cost you something, regardless, it's going to be working properly. Why am I saying this? It has nothing to do with your phone. Because sometimes when they fixed it, they just need to update it. They need to give you a new one. They just need to make some minor changes. But I'm done talking about phones now. I'm going back to you. Sometimes if something's off, if something's just not functioning properly. If something's not working well, you just need to go back to the Creator and get a little update. Sometimes you just need to get fixed because you're cracked. Sometimes you just need a whole new version. You need to go back to a factory reset. Delete all the stuff that you picked up along the way that you shouldn't have been picking up. And go back to be functioning how you were designed to function. Because you got some malware from the world. You go back to the Creator. It works for Apple products. I can't speak Android. I don't know what Android people do. I don't know if you have, what's your Apple Care called? Bomb work? What? Just hope it doesn't blow up care. I'm sorry if I'm offending the Android people. I apologize. I'm just having fun. We're having fun. You can have fun in church. Go back to the Creator. And when you go to the Apple store, they ask you a couple questions. Do you have Apple Care? What iOS are you running? Let's just do an update. All these things. But when you go to the Creator as a son or daughter, these three questions are going to change your life. Basic questions. Where did I come from? Who am I? Why am I here and where am I going? When we shore up these three questions from the Creator, it's a game changer. Where did you come from? Him. Who are you? His. Why are you here? To honor Him. Where are you going? Heaven. If. Talk about that later. But those questions change everything. Everything. And when we understand the answers to these questions, it's like a factory reset. And you can answer these questions over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Listen, Apple's smart. New phone comes out every October. They start getting people excited every September. And guess what? Your battery stops working every year. They actually got sued about it. Because we're not dumb. We kind of are, but just go back to God. Here we go. Who is God? Who am I? Who are we? Our theology, our identity, and who we are as the church. He, me, and we. He, me, and we. Somebody should make a song. One of you musically creative people. Make one. But we're working out the foundational truths that we as Christians believe help us to build strong faith. And when we started this series, we thought, oh, it's going to be like a four-week series. We're just going to work into the summer. But right now, this is becoming our whole entire summer. Because we wrote out these seven statements, and right now we're at like the second part of the first sentence. God the Father, which we spoke about already. God the Father, the Creator of heaven. Here we go. We're going to go through and look at these seven things of the foundational beliefs. But we talked about God the Father. Today we're talking about the Creator. You can go through these four things and kind of get a cheat sheet of where we're going on the coming weeks here. You can go to the 5 through 7. But us talking about the Creator. Let's go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis is a really important text to the whole entire New Testament. You know, when we recognize that there are at least 165 passages in Genesis that either directly are quoted or clearly referred to in the New Testament, many of these are quoted more than once. So there are at least 200 quotations or allusions to Genesis in the New Testament. Creation's important. What God created is important. Listen, the world did not just create itself. This isn't just by chance. You're not an accident. God always has been and always will be eternal. We didn't just show up here. Well, you might have just showed up here, but you didn't show up here. God, if we believe the statement, God is the creator, you won't have problems believing and walking out the rest of the Bible. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. If you start there and you start building there, the rest of it is not going to be a problem for you to walk out. If your faith is created by knowing He is the Creator, it's a good place to start building. I do not like to build things. I love the finished product, but I don't have the patience to measure. I don't have the patience for that stuff. I really don't. I thought I made Eric laugh. I'm sorry. I thought it was a really funny part of my sermon. I love you so much. I don't have the patience. I'm not a measure twice, cut once kind of guy. I'm like, let's just cut it. Let's just do it. Let's just get it on the wall. I've hung many things in my house and then had to call my father-in-law afterwards. Like, this is not straight. But if we build right and we start to see Him as the Creator, that's when we are really able to honor Him and praise Him and trust Him. When we see Him for who He is, that's where honor comes from. That's where praise comes from. That's where trust comes from. But we live in a culture that's constantly trying to dismantle the Bible. We live in a world that Christians are trying to dismantle the Bible. There's Gallup polls and gospel coalitions that say that up to 54% of Christians do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. How can you say you're a Christian and you don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God? You just think it's a nice book of some stories. There are Americans that just generally believe that what happens in this book is just a collection of stories. This happens because we want to dishonor and distrust the Creator. There is a counterfeit to everything that God has done. Everything. We'll get to that more later. Psalm 19, 1 and 2. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make Him known. Listen, if you're having trouble getting back to the Creator, it's not as easy as it is for the Apple Store. You can't just make a Genius Bar appointment. You can't just drive to South Hills Village. You can't just go down to Shadyside or go to Ross Park Mall. It's actually easier. Wake up early and watch a sunrise. Drive up to Mount Washington and sit on one of the overlooks and just watch the sunrise over the city of Pittsburgh and tell me that God isn't amazing for all that He's done and created. And you're like, oh man, it's not a mountain. It's not beautiful like the Colorado Rocky Mountains or the Appalachian Mountains. It's a city. God created the people that built those beautiful buildings in that amazing city and the bricklayers that put the point in. He created those people that did that. The people that plumbed the fountain. Go sit up there and watch the sunrise and tell me God, the Creator, didn't do amazing things. Go watch a sunset. Go for a long drive. Rachel and Lennon and I drove across the state yesterday And it was raining, but it was still beautiful just to see the mountains and the tunnels and the trees and just be in awe of what God's created. All the cows. I think farmers should put signs outside of their farmland to say, baby cows, look. They're so adorable. They would really have people stop at their farms to see the baby cows. And you are not in agreement with me? The baby cows are worth the price of the turnpike. Easy pass or not, the baby cows are worth the price of admission for the turnpike. The turnpike should advertise it, like baby cow season. Drive across the state. There's some goats too. But listen, the creation around us tells us the story of God and his amazing, amazing plan, not only for us, but for you. My beautiful wife is sitting in the front row. She has a book, and it's about the deep sea. And she's not not like Jacques Cousteau or anything, but somebody bought it for her so she could understand her identity and how much God put into creating her. This was well over a decade ago. And it's all the fish that are in the deep sea, the ones that we've discovered. And they're amazing, beautiful fish. Beautiful. God put that much detail into a fish. Imagine what he's put into you. Romans 1, 20 through 21, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what happens when we discontinue honoring God as the creator? The Bible tells us. The Bible, the playbook for our lives, tells us exactly what's going to happen when we don't go back to the creator and allow for him to speak to our heart. Allow for him to give us an update. Allow for him to make sure that we're functioning as we were designed to function. Futile thinking. Foolish hearts that are darkened. Fear, anxiety, and depression. Listen, when we start walking in the counterfeits of the world, we start to walk in depression and fear and anxiety. We start to have thinking that isn't of God, and we start to have foolish hearts that are darkened by the world. The Bible tells us that. But if we go back to the Creator and allow for him to continue to update us, continue to give us what he wants us to do, continue to honor him, continue to trust him, continue to praise him, continue to know where we came from. Game changer. The world tries to take everything and change it and flip it around. The NFL draft just happened. I know a lot of you don't care, but it's an important time of the year for a lot of people because it changed their lives. A lot of these guys became millionaires overnight. And a lot of people will say, hey, just don't forget where you came from. Don't forget where you came from. Now, some of them will use that statement in a good way. Some of them will use it in a bad way. But where do you think they got that statement from? They stole it from the Bible. Don't forget where you came from. Where do you think Lion King got it from? Remember who you are. That wasn't Mufasa's idea or Rafiki. That's God's idea. Lion King is a biblical movie, by the way. It really is. You watch that whole thing. They do the whole child dedication in the beginning, which child dedications is next week. Mother's Day. All you guys, Mother's Day is next week. Don't let me see you on Saturday going to get a card. Mother's Day is next week. Don't be the guy at Dairy Queen parking lot buying flowers because you forgot. Mother's Day, next week. Child dedications, next week. It's the whole thing. By the way, hey, just so you know, babies crying in church is the greatest sound in the world. You never have to hide that. I love that sound. It's the greatest sound. Every crying baby can sit right in the front row. It doesn't bother me one bit. I love it. That's the healthiest sound in church. That means the church is growing, and that is our growth plan. Just keep having babies, okay? I love crying babies in church, okay? Crying adults is great, too, but you're not as socially acceptable. I just want to let you know, okay? The ushers will remove you if you start screaming, okay? They've been trained to do so, okay? Listen, but that's the greatest sound in the world. But we do have an amazing mom room over there. I'm on TV in that room right over there on that wall. It's pretty cool. Mom room, not guy room. You can't go in there and watch the Steeler game. Where was I? Rach, where was I? You don't know. You're supposed to be paying deep, deep attention to me. Lion King. That wasn't in my notes either, so that didn't help. That didn't help at all. That didn't help at all. So remember where you came from. There we go. Let's just go to Romans 1, 12, 1, 22 through 25. That's the next thing. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God of images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creator, the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. If we do not have God the creator, we lose redemption because we lose all knowledge of who he is. The world, again, the enemy, again, will try to take everything that God has created and defile it or create a counterfeit of it. And counterfeits don't work for long. I got a perfect example of how I learned this as a young child. In middle school, the FBI showed up to my middle school. Not for me. And I was not involved in any way, shape, or form. There's a couple people in here that know this story, actually. This is right when laser jet printers came out. And they were really high quality. And somebody decided to run off a few 20s. Then a couple 50s. And then they passed them around town. At BP gas station down here. Now it's Get-Go, but it was BP at the time. I think one got past it, like Wendy's or Dairy Queen, and they broke them to get change. You break a 50, you get some change back, right? And you get real money. That's how you pass the counterfeit. I didn't just teach you how to launder money at church, by the way. I watched documentaries. Again, I wasn't involved in this, but we're sitting in class, and the FBI just rolls in. And they pull somebody out of class because counterfeits don't work. Eventually, you're going to get caught up in something. And it's going to hurt. And it's going to keep you from getting the real thing. The world is trying to take everything and defile what God's created. Marriage. The world's tried to defile that. Our identity. The world's trying to defile that. That they don't even want us to know who we are. The enemy will do anything to take what God's created and defile it. Why? Because what God has created is perfect and he wants us to function exactly how he created, because it brings joy not only to him but to us. So when we function knowing who we are, who he is, and what he's created for us, we don't have to go for counterfeit. You know, when we were preparing the message, Pastor Rick made a joke that pickles are a defilement to what God created. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, God created the cucumber. Man defiled it by creating pickles. I said, you're sick. You really are. And I know he hates mayonnaise too. I was like, what about mayonnaise? He's like, God created eggs and oil, and then man defiled those too. You can't mess with a pastor. A pastor will always find the right answer in a way to Jesus juke you. But listen, pickles are great. I'm on the great. Pickles are amazing. Who hates pickles in here? Who loves pickles? There we go. Pastor Rick, it was 95-5. 95% to 5. He's going to tell me I have a problem at our campus, and there's a whole bunch of sinners. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Through him and for him. Listen, when you start to function in your life in this way and understand that everything is through him and for him, your everyday ordinary life, you're doing it through him and for him. When you're working, it's for him. When you're raising your kids, it's for him. When you're walking around sharing joy in your life, it's for him. When you're walking through a struggle, it's for him. Anything and everything, it's through him and for him. We were created by God and for God, and everything about our lives is for him. Everything. Not some things, not the things we pick and choose, not everything. God is not withholding things from us. He's not withholding fun from us. People think that sometimes, especially when you first get saved, if you're coming out of a certain lifestyle. Oh, I can't have fun anymore. I have more fun now than whenever I was having fun. When I was drunk all the time. I got all my drinking out of the way before I was 21, by the way. It's all been expunged from my record. I made the front page of the newspaper as a freshman in high school. 52 students get arrested for underage drinking. I'm serious. I was in ninth grade, I was with all the seniors, and people had already graduated. The whole entire starting 11 for the football team was in that garage, and we all had to go to the magistrate and leave school. It was a whole thing. That was me having fun. I had to be drunk to experience joy. Now I'm drunk all the time. Go tell somebody that. I'm drunk on a different spirit now. Now you could ask my wife, sometimes I have a hangover and I'm cranky. Listen, this is being recorded too. A lot of people don't understand it, but listen, be joyful. Because you're created by the Creator, you know who you are. If you need an update, tell somebody. God's not withholding fun. He has something better for you, for me, for us. When I see life through him, great things happen. We have a purpose, a plan, a position with God the Father, the Creator of the universe. And God has things for each of us. Genesis 1, 27 through 28. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Listen, God created male and female. He created marriage. It's a biblical term. And it's being counterfeit. Something that God created and intended to honor him and bring honor to his name. being counterfeit. Our lives have value when we see ourselves as created by God and for God and to live on purpose. Nothing happens by chance. Our lives aren't by chance. Our life has a form and a substance. And we'll never properly understand this universe that we live in until we understand that God created it. How we treat each other, how we look at human life, it's all based upon the Creator. If we're all just random, here at random, because of a boom, that takes more faith than believing that the Creator has a purpose for you. We're going to start landing the plane here, and as we do, I want to turn to Psalm 100, verse 3. And it starts off by saying that we should know that the Lord, He is God. And it is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, giving thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness is to all generations. Listen, every single Sunday, it's like an update. You know, you get alerts on your phone. On mine, there's a little cog, the settings wheel, right here on my homepage. And right now I have a little red one on there because I know I have an update. And all I have to do is plug it in, make sure the battery's above 50%, and I'm connected to Wi-Fi, and it'll update. Every single Sunday that you walk in here, it's like a system update. And then you have 7 days to pick up some stuff that slows you down and drains your battery, and then you just need another update. That's if you know what you were created for. I want to go all the way back to the beginning of our time together this morning during the message, and we talked about three questions. And one of them was, what was I created for? Why am I here? And I'm not talking about why you're here at Bridge City Church, White Oak. I'm talking about, why are you here on earth? What were you created for? You were created for heaven. You were created to be in His presence. You were created by Him and for Him. But something separated us, called sin. Something separated us. Something keeps us from entering His pasture as sheep. And listen, I don't know if you've ever seen a sheepdog running around trying to get sheep back into a pasture, but they work tirelessly. My brother and sister-in-law have an Australian Shepherd, and that dog will do anything to herd stuff. He's exhausting to watch. They got a ball that's like a herding ball for him. They have to take it away from him because he will literally exhaust himself trying to get this ball into a corner or into the shed or under the deck, anywhere, because this ball does not stop rolling. It's created for him. But we at Bridge City Church will do anything short of sin to get you into the arms of Jesus and to trip over that cross to get back into the pasture of heaven. And today's the day where I want you to realize where you've been created to be, and it's in the presence of Jesus because of what he did on the cross to bring you back in to right standing with God. We're all sheep, and we were all called to be in his pasture and to enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. So if you're here today and you've never had a moment where you've received him as your Lord, as your Savior, if you've never had a moment where you've repented of your past and received the forgiveness from what he did on the cross, I want today to be your day. Let today be your update. And I want you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done. And I don't want you to be worried about the person sitting in front of you or beside you or behind you. This is a you and God moment. I just want you to slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I need to be back in the presence of the Creator and make sure that I know that I've been created for heaven. Because I've been going through hell. Anyone at all today? We got to rejoice with heaven this morning during our first worship experience and welcome some people home. I'd love to see it happen during our second. Don't let this moment pass.